So right now is a time where we'll dismiss all the rock climbers. So that's anyone from kindergarten all the way through sixth grade. And you can head to this door and they'll have their children's church while we're in here. Thank you, Emily. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate it, guys. Ruth, thank you for sharing. Man, look at that, like Exodus. That's pretty sweet. Praise God for that. So, hey, if you're just joining us today online or in person, my name is Will. I'm the pastor. So I get the honor and responsibility of sharing from what was written in the scriptures and what the Holy Spirit's leading on my heart. And you're coming in at an irregular time because the Spirit has really, I'm learning to walk in step with the Spirit more and more. And that's my prayer, is that I continue to do that every year, more and more. And so what we've done is we're following the Spirit, and I don't know how long this is going to last. I think I kind of know what's coming next, but I don't. The Spirit's led me to talk to you about Him. He wants me to talk about things that other people will not. And so that's probably why Ross prayed, you know, hey, if I say something, it might offend you. Okay, well, that's fine. Maybe you need to be offended, right? Or, you know, like Josh said to me, Will, why don't you pick something more controversial to talk about, you know? It's not me, it's the Spirit, but we're here together, guys, and we have an opportunity. Not that we're going to figure everything out, but if we're the body of Christ, right? And I'm a pastor, one that should shepherd you towards the good things and the green grass. I want to bring you the green grass today. And I want to show you and present to you the sent ones, right? Like Ruth, like Brittany here we're talking about. And our church is involved in international missions individually and corporately. And so, you know, we need to unlock more of the power of God in our lives. And so something God's teaching me, I'm almost going to over-illustrate it, guys. It's like I am drinking from a fire hose today. So I made this with the help of my daughter. And what it is, it's not a weapon, but it can be. What God is showing me and what I want to show to you, and this is not the purpose of today's sermon, but I got to mention this. What this is there's three spheres here, three balls, okay, different colors attached by a string. And what this represents is you. Yes, you, Randy, and me, and Corey, right, and Rose, all of us here, this represents, and so I what it is, the red ball I'm using to represent the body, okay, red, blood, body, got it? Okay, orange, soul, bless the Lord, all my soul, referring to, like, emotions, feelings, intellect, this part of us, this center of us, and then green, because green's like one of my favorite colors, the Spirit, because the Spirit is best. And what I'd present to you is these things are the complete view of mankind. The problem with religion is it does this. It comes to our body and our soul and gets our emotions, our intellect going, and we want to study and study and study, and you see what's happening with the Spirit, right? Right, Spirit, right? And then we've got people who are like, I see that we're lacking Spirit and the power of God. So this becomes the foundation of everything that they do, and they're slaying everyone in the Spirit. However, they've lost their fullness, okay? The reality of it is what God has done is what the Bible tells us very plainly that I think I've missed my whole life is that God is Spirit. And if we want to know something in Spirit, it takes Spirit to know Spirit. Make sense? Right? I don't know what my dog is thinking. I know that they think they know, but no one's ever really talked to the dog to know what they're thinking. If you want to know what a dog is thinking, talk to another dog. Is that fair? You want to know what the Bible says this. You want to know what God, whose Spirit's thinking, the only one that's going to tell you is the Holy Spirit. And the only one that's going to connect with you is the Spirit that's in you. And so here's the problem. In a head-based faith, we're constantly being led by either our emotions and feelings. Sing a pretty song, Ross, so I feel good and close to God. And this carries in our life. And in our body, we don't do anything for Christ. In our spirit, we don't really know what's going on in the heavenly places. Do you see that? But ideally, what happens is our spirit, right, works in communion with God, and the Holy Spirit leads us, and everything is in alignment. And if anything I can tell you in the last year, God has shown me time and time again, place and place again, there's an order to things. And when you get out of order, it's a mess. And when you get it in order, it's like magic. It's the best English word I have for it. It's magic. You want to get your household in order? You're doing it right? Freaky how much it goes together. There's an order to things, and the order of things was never your emotions, your thoughts, and your feelings to drive everything. It was never take care of my bodily needs and leave everything else out. It was, no, Holy Spirit, because what Jesus said is, I know you love it that we're hanging out, guys, Jesus and all his followers. I know it's helpful that I can like make bread and fish appear out of nowhere and like part the seas and calm the seas and raise the dead, but I got something better for you. And it's the Holy Spirit. It's going to abide in you forever. And this Holy Spirit is going to speak to you in the spiritual realm, because part of you has been raised with Christ and lives right at the throne. And it doesn't make sense because we don't understand it, and that's okay. I'm not going to explain it to you because I don't know that I can, but I do know there's a part of me that's spirit. There's part of me that's spirit, and if I don't lead with that, and if I don't let the Spirit transform my soul and carry my body, I get out of line. So all that's to say, I need to talk to you about the Holy Spirit, and it sounds like an impossible thing because I'm talking to you about something bigger and better than I could ever be. And so let's pray. Lord, I pray that your way of doing things, your kingdom would come here as it will be for eternity with you, but that it would come now and that it would be in the group of your family, your believers, through the Holy Spirit that resides in us. Jesus, we praise you because you did all the work. You did it, and now we walk in it. And Holy Spirit, we ask you to lead us and speak to us because it's you who applies the work of Christ and the will of God. And so, Holy Spirit, I know it's a little bit of a mystery because you're in me and all around me. But I pray today that you'd fill me fresh, fill me new. Complete what's lacking in me as I try to present these things so above my intellect, so above my understanding to people I care about, that I can show them that you are what's good and true and that they would come to you. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, let's jump in. Reminder, here's where we were. Okay, last week we were talking about the Holy Spirit. It was a long sermon and a lot of information. But ultimately, what I want you to remember from this is that when we look at the Bible, what was written about that, here's what we find. The Holy Spirit had distinct personal attributes, right? Had personality, was separate but somehow connected to the Godhead, right? And that God the Spirit, right, the Holy Spirit, applies the work of God the Son, Jesus. And so like Ruth was saying, sometimes it's like, God, help me. The whole point of what Jesus was telling you is God is not this distant God that you're waiting to come down and do something, but he's a present God with you that he's given you for those who believe. He's given you the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit fills you, completes you where you're lacking, fills you up, surrounds you so you can absorb it, and leads you in everything and teaches you everything. See, and what the Holy Spirit accomplishes is the unified will of the Father and the Son while being in a personal relationship with both of them. Okay, do you understand all that? I don't. But not to deify the scriptures, but what we have in the Bible here is it's a record of what our brothers and sisters before us went through, what God showed them, what God told his people, and what Jesus did, and what the Holy Spirit did. And so we look at that, and we get to know who they are, and we get direction and guidance. And so sometimes when we don't understand, there's only one appropriate reaction, and what that is worship. Like when you sing, if you want to throw your hands up, that's really what you're doing. You're like, I can't control you. I can't do anything. I can't even put my arms around how great you are, Lord. Rick, I think about how big the world is, and it says at the beginning of the world that it was just, there was just the expanse, right? And that the Spirit was over it. Like, how huge is that? So even though I don't understand, Derek, how he can be in me, filling me up, and around me in a presence that I can be soaking up and that can be speaking to you, I know it's true, even though I can't understand it. Sorry, spitting over here. I don't have the physics for it, or the dimensions, or the mathematical knowledge to tell you how that works, but it's true. Now, there's a lot here, guys. That's why I don't know how many weeks we're going to go. But today I want to talk to you about baptism of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so some of you are cringing right now, and some of you are excited, right? Because you want to see what's going to happen. And that's what I love about being here, because it's the colliding of many faith systems that have come together. If I say baptism, which is awesome, right? Because I think we can all come together, and because we're led by one Spirit and one God, we can lay down all the things that we've been taught. Because probably would someone say they've been kind of taught, like the Holy Spirit, yeah, it's kind of mentioned as a tagline, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we don't talk much about that because it's kind of freaky and weird. And some of us come from that background. And some of you, as soon as I said baptism of the Holy Spirit, you started thinking about speaking in tongues. Right? This, I understand that. I understand that we've come from that. I don't mean to insult anyone. But what I want to say is, in our Western Christianity, we would say baptism of the Holy Spirit is defined like the incorporation of Christians. It's this act of the Spirit to incorporate Christians into the church and the body of Christ. It can also be the giving and receiving of spiritual gifts and the empowerment for Christian ministry. Okay? Now, you'll notice I didn't put the baptism of the Holy Spirit before, and there's a reason why. We're going to get into that. There's a scriptural basis for this, so if you're the type of person that's like, well, don't be talking to me about baptism of the Holy Spirit, because it's going to get weird up in here. Well, I got news for you. You're about to get a little uncomfortable, because it's in the Bible, okay? It's in there. They talked about it. It's a real thing. So let's come together and talk about what it is and what it's not. And if it challenges what you came in here and your belief system when you came in here, then good, it was probably worth talking about, right? And I would ask you to not say, oh, the Holy Will says. No, the Holy Spirit needs to lead you in this, because he will teach you and lead you in all things. So take what I present to you that the Holy Spirit's revealing to me, and we're going to take it before the Lord, and he can apply that to your life. Acts 1:5 said this, and I mean, this is the words of Jesus, right? So this is like pretty sweet. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So Jesus said it. Okay. And then on in verse 1, Acts 1, verse 8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, right? So if you're not comfortable with the fact that power comes with the Holy Spirit at times, then get comfortable, because it does, right? It'll come upon you, and you will be, why will it come on you? So you can be the witness, his witness, in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's verse 8. Verse 9, Jesus hops on a cloud and takes off. You don't think this is important? The last thing that he said? Okay, important. Power. Our faith, many of us, have absolutely no power from God. Right? There's no spirit. There's none of that. It's all feelings and manipulation of those feelings. Because you can do that in church. Like, guys, there's books that tell you how to make a church big and rich. It has nothing to do with spirit. And I pray that the Spirit shows up to that, but you can manipulate people to feel good about something, because you can entice them, their body, and entice their soul with good feelings. What I want to do is I want to be a part of church that the Spirit is leading and engages, right, our soul, which transforms our body and our physicality. That's what I want to be part of. And if it's only five of us that want to do it, let's do it. Amen? Okay? So what you see here is you'll receive this power. And then there's also other places where it says this. This is, you guys remember about John the Baptist? They call him John the Baptizer. And Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are what we call the Gospels. And what they are is different authors writing about the life of Jesus and the ministry of his disciples. So this actually shows up in all four Gospels. in a different form. And I'm going to give you Matthew 3:11. Matthew 3:11 is John the Baptist saying this: I baptize you with water for repentance, but he who is coming after me, who's that? Jesus, is mightier than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. If you're making a note, Luke 3:16 is another, is Luke's account of John saying something real similar to that. Mark 1:8 is in the book that account, I'm sorry. And then John 1:33, all of those will kind of tell you the same thing. John's like, are you the Messiah, guys? And John's like, no. The one who comes after me, Jesus, he's the one coming. Like, I'm baptizing you in water for forgiveness of your sins. But he's going to baptize you in the Spirit. He's going to give you a new life and a new world in the Spirit, right? And he's offering that to us, but yet we still just want to do this. And then here in Acts, we see this. Acts 11:15 through 18. As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell on them just as on us at the beginning. And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with fire, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. If then God gave us the same gift as he gave them, when we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I could stand in God's way? When he heard these things, they fell silent and glorified God, saying, then the Gentiles also God has granted repentance that leads to life. Okay, why that one, Will? Well, what's happening is Peter's talking to Jews. And at this time, right, the Jews still thought this inheritance that was promised to Abraham was for them, and that the Gentiles should not get the same gifts as the Christian Jews. There was fighting about this. So the Jews who converted to Christianity, there was Pentecost, right? The disciples came forward and they spoke these tongues in Acts 2. And these were languages that other people understood who were there. And the Spirit fell on those people and tons of people were saved, right? What Peter's talking about is he saw a similar thing happen with Gentiles, non-Jews. And he's saying, listen, if this is one Spirit for all, Jew and Gentile, and they were given the Spirit just like we were as Jews, then why can't they be part of our kingdom? If God is going to bless it and give them life, why would I not baptize them and invite them into the brotherhood? Is that context kind of fair? But let me pull out this piece. The Spirit, what this Holy Spirit did when it baptized them is it gave them the same gift that he gave the Jews when they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Why I want to point that out is as we're talking about the Holy Spirit, it's easy in our pride or our fear to run away with this. We'll talk a whole lot more in the weeks coming about gifts and how that works, but please understand that the Holy Spirit, no matter what you think about it, is a gift from God. It's not something you earn. It's not something that you brag about, right? It's something that you're always gonna have to watch your pride in. Because even if you have a certain gift, there's an easy way for you to manipulate it, use it in your flesh, in your pride, and hurt people. Right? Even me. I used to speak to people in the business world. And the benefit of that was to make money and have success. So I was given a gift. And something broke it in my head that makes me want to talk to large groups of people. And I used to do it with this. But I used to do it with my body and what I could get physically. And the feels good, right? And my mind and all that stuff. And this is what was leading. And God is like, I put that in you, but not for that purpose. I put that in you that you would follow me in your spirit. And then that spirit would, what was coming to me in the spirit would be translated through my understanding and my soul. And that it would change my actions. And that I would be a complete person in the right order. And the same for anyone else. Whatever gift it is that God's given you or whatever gift he will give you or series of gift, it should be submitted to the Holy Spirit, communicated through your spirit in such a way that you use it for God's glory and not your own. Clear as mud? Okay. Well, that's a whole other day too, right? Getting off track, guys. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're going to try something. Okay, Lord, please help the technology, okay? Whatever you want to pray, if you do the cross thing or songs, just do it because we got some technology. I want to show you a clip here that's going to illustrate my point. You ready to try this first one? Okay, Let me put this up here. This is a movie from the year of our Lord, 1999. So some of you guys might not have seen this. Last century, old school, back in the day, right? It's called Blast from the Past. Some of you are like, no, and some are like, yeah. So what we have here is a family in the 50s, in the middle of all the fear over nuclear war. There's this announcement. They have a dinner party. The Russians are going to attack us with nukes. They freak out. The dad takes his wife, who's pregnant, down into a bunker, seals it down for like 35 to 40 years. I'm trying to remember whatever calculation he had for nuclear fallout. She has a son down there, like almost right away. So there's this boy who grows up. One day, 35 years later, the vault opens. The father wants to go see what the nuclear war has done to mankind and if they can come back to the surface. So I want you to check out this first scene.
God! Oh my God! Oh God, save me! Oh, for I have seen the light!
I come in peace. Leave my elevator alone.
So just so you know what he said there, right? That's the father. He's come up. He's in protection because he's worried about radiation. And this guy who's been on drugs and alcohol freaks out, and it's like, oh, God, like, this is you, right? So then his word to him is this. Well, first of all, I come in peace. He collapses. He leans over, and what he says to him, in case you didn't hear it, he says, leave my elevator alone. Okay? So we ready for the next part here?
Are you all right?
Yes. Yes. Oh, Lord, yes.
Are you the one who came last night all in yellow?
All in yellow. Oh, that was my father.
Oh, of course. The father. Forgive me. Can you forgive me for my wasted life? Everything has been so awful.
I know. It has been terrible. But it's not your fault. And now that all the decay is over with, things are going to get better. You understand?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I have to go now.
Of course you do. I'll stay here and pray.
See, now that's always a good idea.
Yes.
How do I leave this place?
The front door is open.
I don't know if you caught what he's saying. So this is some little time later, right? His dad was the one, and he came up, and it's like, were you the one that came last night? Though that was my father. Oh, yeah, the father and the son, right? But he's chanting, leave my elevator alone. Leave my elevator. He's caught on to the one thing that the dad said. Now, so it's progressed. This idea has penetrated him and become a thing instead of a command. Now let's see if we can find that third piece there. See if it's going to work. She's trying to find that, so, okay. So we couldn't download that, but so you see that there's the birthing of this idea, and then that idea grabs on, and it gets legs it was never meant to have, okay? And then now, you guys gonna try something here? Was it working? Maybe not?
I think it's time to call Cam.
It's a little early, that's okay. We'll watch for a minute here.
Oh, of course.
Parental advisory.
You're absolutely right. I really shouldn't be over here at this late hour.
Good night, Adam.
Yes. So anyway, there's this piece where there's the love entrance. He's trying to get back to help his parents. He's realized at this time that there wasn't a nuclear war, there wasn't a fallout, and now he's going to go kind of rescue his parents. But he's got to go back through this little cult area. which happens to be located next in the slums of LA.
God damn, Adam!
Wait a minute.
I'm sorry. I know I took the Lurk's name in vain again.
No, there's an adult bookstore back there. I'll be right back.
So anyway, what I want to show you in that kind of paints that picture. If you notice in the background in this facility, now they've taken this "Leave my elevator alone" sign, and they've wrote it down, and it becomes the focus of what they're about. Okay, it's fun and it's comical, but it really kind of points back to what I would like to present to you. What I think the Spirit's leading me in is how do we approach this? Because I've got one camp who is totally set on, like, I don't know, Holy Spirit, like, don't talk about baptism of the Holy Spirit, because I know the connotation of that in my world, and I don't believe that, okay? Or the other world who's like, this is what it is. And what we've done is we've taken something, baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is in the scripture, and we've added the word "the" to it. And it might seem a very little thing, but what's happened now is we've taken something and made it a whole theological system that was simply meant to be direction. We've taken the "leave my elevator alone," which is simply just a request, and made it the focal thing because we want to understand God so much, because we want to follow him with our mind and our understanding. So if you can give me just what it is, I get it. No power of God in my life. What I need is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it is only this. See, for John baptized with water, Acts 1:5, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. It doesn't say you will receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit many days from now. Let's geek out a little bit. Let's look at the word here. This might help. So the word that we translate baptize, if I spoke at Prescott Valley, like baptizo, right? It's actually a verb. I don't know. Well, that doesn't matter to me. Okay, I know. It's been a while since, like, elementary school. But when I say, have you had the baptism of the Holy Spirit, what that is a thing, a person, place, or thing. And a person, place, or thing is what? A noun. Thank you, teachers. A noun. So I propose that many of us were given this as a noun, a thing to focus on, a thing to fight on. It's really awesome. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, that's awesome. It's nothing we should ever fight about. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit is a noun. We've got it all confused. See, because literally what he's saying, right, this baptizo, right, is like to dip under, to submerge, to immerse, to overwhelm, to overtake. See, what is being described with the words baptism with and by the Holy Spirit is the action of being overwhelmed or immersed in the Holy Spirit for his purposes. So it's not something you should shy away from. It's not something that should be divisive, but I think we have to understand, look at, first of all, what we're being commanded to do here, Jesus is like, guys, wait. This is what he's telling them in Acts. I know. I'm back. You're excited. What did they think Jesus was going to do when he came back from the dead? What's that? Overthrow the Romans, right? Like, when's our kingdom going to start? Right? Everyone's fighting whoever gets the best room in the castle. Like, what's my job going to be in the new kingdom, Lord? I know what you're about to do and overthrow Rome. And then Jesus took off. But he said, don't go. Don't wait. Like, just wait. Don't go anywhere. Not long from now, something's going to happen to you. It's not a system I'm giving you. It's not a rule book or a religion I'm giving you. It's something that's going to happen to you. You're going to be overwhelmed by the Holy Spirit. And when he overwhelms you, he's going to make a home with you. And me and the Father, we're going to live with you. And he's going to empower you to do everything that you need to do from here out to be my witnesses throughout the whole world. So for me, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because I think because we have it defined wrong, some of us shy away and we miss out on one third of the power of God in our life. Maybe even more, right? Because it's such a personal part. But one third of the three parts of God, the Holy Spirit. We don't ask him anything. We don't walk in his power. We don't learn from him. And then we wonder why we'll have like training wheels on our faith. And so what about this? Let me give you this verse. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says this, for in one spirit, which spirit's that? Well, that's right, Holy Spirit, right? I think I heard some of the Bible, the good Sunday school answers, Jesus, but yeah. But the Holy Spirit, right? I know they're one, right? In one spirit, we were all baptized. One spirit, we were all baptized into one body. And that, in the end, this is what, we don't want the gifts of the Holy Spirit so that we can be magical and cool and feel loved. We want them because the world needs it and the world needs it in here, right? We're the body of Christ. We all play a role, but when we're going without our spirit, then we're all dependent on our physical abilities. We just want to make a bulletin board with who's a construction worker, who's a plumber, what can I do in my mind? We don't ever think, man, about the gifts of the Spirit and what they can do when they work together. So we were all baptized into one spirit, Jews or Greeks, whether you're coming from Prescott Valley or Dewey or Paulden or Mare, right? Like, that doesn't matter. Whatever your ethnical background, wherever your family came from into this whole blender we call America, right? None of that matters. Whether you grew up in a full gospel or Pentecostal church or you were in a Nazarene church or a Lutheran church or a Catholic church or whatever, when we come to God and the Holy Spirit encounters us, we're baptized, right? We're baptized into one body through the Holy Spirit. We're regenerated and renewed. But I love this. And all were made to drink of one Spirit. And that one Spirit is the Holy Spirit. So what I'm worried is you guys are trying to walk out your faith in God and fully unaware, because I think a lot of times I am, of what is there for you. What is there? If you don't think the life that you live day in and day out is ministry, like, you are wrong. If you don't think it's more important than an hour I get to talk to you every week that's not going to change your life, you're wrong. Like, and so the Holy Spirit's got to be in that leading as much as he has to be in me leading. And you want the world to change. We change, and the world will change. And so there's the Spirit there, right? And somehow, because there is a spiritual reality going around, whether you like it or not, man, and in that spiritual realm and reality, which seems somehow to overlay ours, there's evil and there's good at work at all times, and they're battling and fighting for your attention. And the Spirit is the one who sees and speaks and teaches, and he's there. And so somehow he's like so personal in me, Lisa, that it's like he completes me, you know? But at the same time, he's just over me, and I can drink from him. But when I don't know that, I won't even slow down long enough to drink from him. And I can drink from him so I can preach from him, just as you can drink from him to do chemistry. So in that 1 Corinthians, here comes the next question. So what is that, right? Have you guys heard presented to you, okay, baptism of the Holy Spirit? Sure, I guess we'll go there, but it kind of freaks me out. But that's only when you get saved, right? They filled up the baptismal at church. I was 8, got saved, got the Holy Spirit, everything, okay? Baptism of the Holy Spirit. I don't need to worry about that anymore. And then the other group is like, man, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit like 740 times now, like every youth camp, right? So we're both talking about that. So which is true, Lord? Which is true, Spirit? Well, in that 1 Corinthians like 12, 13, what's happening here is Paul is talking about the overpowering, right, baptism, overtaking, immersing, filling of the Holy Spirit that stopped us in our tracks from whatever we were doing and brought us to faith in Jesus. It's conversion is the church word. So that's what he's talking about, because these are people in Corinth that didn't have a Christian faith before. And they were given baptism of the Holy Spirit, baptized into one Spirit, into one body, into one family. Do you see that? So if we look at the scripture as our guide, it would tell us, yes, you can receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a power that converts you, that transforms you, that repents you, and turns you in a new direction from the life you were going to the life you're going to go. Okay? If we believe what the scripture says is true, then I'm telling you, you need to believe that that's a possibility. But baptism of the Holy Spirit was a phrase that was used to describe more than just conversion. Acts 1, verses 4 through 5 says this, and while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem. So, who's them? Disciples. Who's he? Jesus. Cool, we're together here, guys. Good. I know, I've got to try to lay out this framework, so I love that you're being patient with me here. So, and while Jesus was staying with them, he ordered them, the disciples, right, not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you heard from me. For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Okay, well, here's how this is different. I mean, you guys remember, like, John, right, Matthew, like all the disciples, these guys have been walking with Jesus for like 3 years. This wasn't like a pagan culture that was brought in. And if you don't realize this, Acts was written by Luke, right, the physician. And Luke also wrote Luke. So in a lot of ways, the Gospel of Luke is like book one, and this is like book two, by the same guy based on his observations and what he was taught through Paul and others. Okay? So if you look at Luke, it's very clear by the end of Luke that these were believers. These followers of Jesus were believers. They were with him, right? They were in. They saw him die and be raised from the dead. They didn't need conversion. They didn't need conversion. What they needed was to be filled, right, and to be empowered to do ministry. And so the baptism of the Holy Spirit promised to them in Acts was not one of conversion, but one of empowering them to do what God asked them to do. So I would present to you, based on the Bible alone, that it's true that, I don't know why I have these on, that you could actually receive a baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is a filling, an overwhelming, an engulfing, like an immersive experience with the Holy Spirit to help you, enable you to do the work of God beyond conversion. And I think if you go out there and Google yourself, you'll see people fighting. No, it's only conversion. No, it's like all the time. But when I look at it, and I look at the definitions of the word, here's what the Lord is showing me. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real thing. I'm sorry, baptism of the Holy Spirit is a real thing. This way we've taken it to leave my elevator alone, leave my elevator alone, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it's all like tongues, right? Unless you speak tongues, you're not a Christian. Unless you speak tongues, you're not a Christian. I know, because I've had this thrown at me, right? And I've asked God to teach me about it or give me that gift if that's what it is. And he has said no. And a lot of brothers and sisters of mine, it's like, not right now. I'm not giving you that gift because I have other things working in you. And the reality of it is this. You can sit here, and people have sat here and said, Will, wow, that was an anointed teaching, right? I feel like the Holy Spirit was totally using you. And then at the same person would say, yeah, you're almost there. If you just spoke in tongues, you'd be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's the truth. I don't mean to insult that person, but it's maddening, okay? It's maddening because for someone who wants to follow God, I'm tired of them telling me, we're not going to talk about the Holy Spirit. That's what happened when you were 8 and you were baptized, right? And then the other people are like, oh man, you just got to get a whole new baptism of the Holy Spirit like all the time, like baptize me in the Holy Spirit, God, in tongues and fire right now, right? And in the middle, most of us are living saying, when I read the Bible, we're not doing what that says. Like the world's problem is not the Bible or what Jesus said, it's like us. So if we can come here, what I want to present to you is if really what we're doing is being baptized in a verb tense, an action word, we're being overcome, overwhelmed, immersed, filled. You can look throughout the scriptures and find so many other baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Verbs, but they used other words. And so if you don't like the word baptized in the Holy Spirit because of the connotation, it's really, honestly, it's not too different than some of these other words. Let me give you some scriptures because it would take all day to go through these. In Acts 11, so you can make notes of this, Acts 11, 15 through 16, and Acts 10, 44 through 46, the words they use is that the Holy Spirit fell on them. I'm not a thin man, so if I came and fell on you, right, I would overcome you and you would fall to the ground. Kind of like baptize, right? Overcome, take down, kind of same meaning. And then here's baptism of the Holy Spirit. There's 7 verses that use that phrase. 1 Corinthians 12:13, Acts 1:5, Matthew 3:11. I know if you're taking notes, I want to give you enough time. Luke 3:16, Mark 1:8, John 1:33, and Acts 11:16. And then in another part, it uses the words filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts 4:31, Acts 2:4, Ephesians 5:18, Acts 4:8, Luke 4:1. And then another thing they use to describe is when that Spirit overtakes you and changes the direction of your life, it's you're born of the Spirit. And that's mentioned in John 3:5. Well, why are you showing me all this, Will? Because guys, the whole point is we get to be a congregation of believers who are, our commonality is the Spirit that lives in us, the God we worship and the work that Jesus did do to save us. And even if you're here today and you're not so sure about those things, it's true and it's for you. And I pray that you keep coming back until the Holy Spirit is like, baptizes you in the Spirit, or overcomes you, or falls on you, or fills you. And it's all the same thing. It's when you stop doing it in your own power, and he's like, bam, right? Like, let's do this different. And whatever you want to call it, when the Holy Spirit abracadabras you, or whatever word you want to put to it, really the verb and what is happening isn't different. If you think it's different, it's because we threw that the baptism of the Holy Spirit thing, and it's like this rite of passage in the Christian faith that Jesus never presented it as. Most of those verses are from John saying, I'm baptizing you in water, and when you do this, you don't get the Holy Spirit because Jesus hasn't went to the Father. And this is something for another day, but consider this. When Jesus went, ascended, right? In Acts there, after he's told us about the Holy Spirit coming, and he goes on that cloud, and he goes and he takes his position in authority at the right hand of the Father, then what we learn from the Bible and from the disciples that came before us was like, now you and I, if we believe, if we're part of the body of Christ, we're seated spiritually with Jesus now at his right hand. Before he went up and did that, we couldn't get the Holy Spirit like this. It'd be like David or Saul, right? The Holy Spirit like came on him and it would come and go. But this indwelling, because now we're sealed with the Holy Spirit. And so now it's very different. So what he was saying is not even to make it a right. Like in what, five of those verses, it was just simply John saying, all I'm doing right now is washing you, man, so that you're saying, I'm sorry, God, wash those sins off of them. I'm sorry, God. Repent. Help me go to a new direction. He was baptizing them to help them change their life, not to receive the Spirit. And I want God to teach me more, because when I get that tub up, I mean it. I'm praying, Lord, I want to baptize them like in you, Father, and your work, Son, in the power of the Holy Spirit, that you'll live in them forever. And I'm hoping that they had the Holy Spirit when they accepted. But I want to say those words, because I don't want anyone being like, well, you just baptize them in water, Will, so they would feel better about their life. Like, I want something that happens in here that engages Spirit, the part that's right eternal, that's with the Lord, that's connected with the Holy Spirit. I'm glad that that spiritual experience will help your soul. God bless your soul, right? And I hope it changes the way that you live your life in the physicality of things. But what I'm after, right? And that's the thing, even I'm after soul winning. Well, yeah, you just try to engage their emotions with pretty songs and potlucks, right? So we need to do more than that. We need to be a people who are like, stop in the flesh and say, Spirit, lead. I want the Spirit to lead, and not to leave these things limp, but to actually take them along intentionally. And they come into communion because they are linked and you can't separate it. Another set of verses here. It says in Luke 24:49 that we're clothed with power from on high. Acts 10:38, anointed with the Holy Spirit. Joel 2:28-29, God pours out his Spirit on all the flesh. And in the story of Jesus' baptism, what it said is, it didn't say he was baptized in the Spirit, okay? What it says is the Spirit descended on him like a dove. But you can see he clearly had the Holy Spirit after that, right? And the Spirit was with him before that. Well, let me define another. I'm giving you more information because, man, I want you to believe. I want you to believe with all of your emotion, all of your heart, all of your feelings, and all of your intellect. And I want you to be a doer of the word and not a hearer only. But what I want us to do as a people that long to look at the Spirit, because we read with our mind and our feeling about the importance of the Holy Spirit. And if we don't lead with the Spirit, then we're not going to engage the other ones. And so I want us to set a foundation here. I love the word filled or be filled. It's used a lot in there. But looking at it, it even challenged me a little bit, because when I thought of the idea of being filled, I typically thought of like a pouring down, right? Like you're empty and you're going to be filled. Right, like that. And the word here can mean that. It can mean that. Here's what else it could mean. It could mean completed. Like Holy Spirit's going to complete me where I'm lacking. That can be filled up. Like, and that's the idea, right? He completes me where I'm lacking. I don't have the wisdom. I don't have the understanding or the ability or the power to handle this. And so he comes in where I'm lacking. But interesting enough, another meaning, it can be soaking up like a sponge, absorbing. I don't think I knew that. Someone told me, I didn't realize that. And so it's kind of like a sponge, right? And if you're like me, who's always going, their mind's going, their body's going, even when you sit still, you got your foot like twitching. Look how long it's taking. I mean, I like the fill thing because it's like, just follow me while I'm running, God, and you'll like fill me, right? Like I like that. That's how I live my life. But there's a mystery here with the Holy Spirit, because not only is he 100% present in me, sealing me to the day, but he's surrounding me. He's in the atmosphere. He's fighting for me. He's translating what's happening in the kingdom of God with Jesus, and he's applying the will of God and the work of Christ to me and you. So part of this too is just this simple like stopping, and I know, and it might sound foofy for some of you guys, but simply absorbing the power of the Holy Spirit around you to believe, the power of the Holy Spirit around you to persevere, the power of the Holy Spirit around you to even do some powerful, crazy things. Well, where are you going with this, Will? You know what would be cool? You know what would be cool is if when someone was like sick, we didn't just go to them, and say, okay, Randy, you're sick. Oh, I know. My feelings want you to get better. And my body knows to pray. Dear God, please help Randy to get better. Heal his body. Right? And then maybe we've been trained, right? Instead, I think we have an opportunity as spiritual beings. Because as A.W. Tozer said, you and I are not, right, bodies with spirits. But rather, we're spirits with bodies. And I think he was right on. Instead, if I went and I was like, Lord, I love my brother Randy. And if I even tried things, not that it's magic, but I come with him and I just lay it to God. Maybe I even put my hand up to say, I can't do this. That's why I would do that. Not to be religious, you see. I would do whatever. Maybe I'd get on my knee, maybe whatever, but I won't touch my wet hand. But I'd come here and I'd be like, Lord, what are you praying? Like, I want to engage what's going on in the spiritual. Like, what are you praying? What do you want from me? And then as I heard, then I would engage, right, my emotions and my gifts and my feelings and my thoughts, and I'd bring that into this. And then I would use my physical being, right, to come over to my brother and be like, I feel in my heart like I should just be praying for peace over you, because that might be what the prayer is. And we missed out on everything that was going on in the spiritual realm because we just went right to what we're supposed to do. Just heal them right now. And then no one's healed. And then our faith has no power, because sometimes people will be healed. Are you okay with that? Sometimes people will speak in tongues. Are you okay with that? Sometimes people will prophesy at times. And what's the appropriate way? Are you okay with that? Sometimes people will get words of wisdom or words of knowledge. Are you okay with that? Because it's in there and we're missing out on it. And I'm not proposing that we do it any way that any other church is doing it. I don't know how we do it. But let's be open to the fact that it's there. Let's be honest about talking about it. And if you come to me, because in your languages you're like, wow, I just really felt a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit, I'd be like, awesome. Because this person might have said, I just felt like the Lord overcame me and gave me what I needed in that time. You guys are talking about the same thing. And we can be brothers here. Because this isn't the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It is a filling, a baptism, an overtaking of the Holy Spirit. And that we, in every situation, if we can be people, even if we don't understand it, to simply say, you know, part of being filled is absorbing. Part of being filled is absorbing. And so sometimes we just sit and we say, Holy Spirit, speak. I got my eyes, my ears, my very spirit open to you. And if we had a group of believers doing that, right? Imagine how our lives would change. I know this is all kind of, we're setting a foundation, guys. Be praying. Last thing I want to do, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up and sing again. It comes back to the Holy Spirit. I'm on a quest, and the Holy Spirit is making you subject to this quest he asked me to be on, but he's told me that you need it too. Because I think we're lacking a vision and a place to go and what God's doing here and why it exists in this church when there's 145 of them in our area. And we're longing to be the church, to love the Lord our God with all of our parts, and to love our neighbors unconditionally because he loves us. And so what I would say is maybe you've been a Christian a long time. Maybe you never have. Maybe you've seen the power and you got stories about the Holy Spirit showing up that would just make people's heads turn. And that's awesome. But I think a really good practice is this. Luke 11, 13 through 14, something Jesus said is, he's talking about gifts and God being good, really. And he's saying, you know, what kind of father, there's different versions, right? But like, okay, what kind of father wouldn't give their kids what they need? Like, if what you needed was sustenance, wouldn't they give you food? What kind of father would give you a rock instead of food if you needed food, is basically what he's saying. And he goes, but that's God. But you, verse 13, if you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I want to be a spiritual man with a body, not a man, a physical man who's spiritual. And there's only one way to do that. You want to call it baptism of the Holy Spirit, filling of the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit time and time again to fill me fresh, because that's what happened with the disciples. That's what it was. The language wasn't be filled once and be done, but be filled and keep on being filled. And so as a people, if we come together and we're like, Lord, fill us, because you're in our midst, you're in our presence. And as we sing these songs, as we do that, just open the eyes of our spirit, if you will. I know it sounds weird, right? Open the eyes of my spirit, Lord, that I could see you, that I would know you, that I would soak in your presence, because it's there for me and I need it, because whatever I'm going to do now, next, when I leave this place, I want to be yours. Let's practice that together. Will you with me? If you think I'm nuts, just sit quietly, and I hope he knocks you down, man. I hope something happens, right? Like, but what I hope you would do is be open to that. Like, I know what I've been taught, Lord, but I want to know what it is to walk in step with you. Let's pray. God, to you be the glory. You are unchanged. Again and again, we get together. We need this reminder down in Oaxaca. Many miles from here in a different culture, like, you had to create a pandemic to reach some women. There's an 18-year-old girl that needed love, and she needed Ruth to be there. And, like, you are so in control that it doesn't matter what we think about current events. Like, you are over those and above those and beyond those. To you be the glory, God. And to us, it's just to surrender to you. And Jesus, you did all the work, so we should just surrender. Holy Spirit, the only way that you come is when we give ourselves as a living sacrifice. So, Lord, we do that now. We just give ourselves our worry. We give you our thoughts, our bodies, our physicality, that they'd be led by the Spirit and we'd be completed beings. Sons and daughters, saints, children of the one true God. So, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would open the eyes of our heart, open the eyes of our spirit. As you dial down our minds and our worries and our fears, fill us with your love, with your presence. Holy Spirit, would you come that we could just soak in your presence, could hear your voice, God, get your encouragement, get the power that we need to be your body, Jesus. And I don't want to say amen, because I just want it to keep going, Lord, so as they play and as we pray, be glorified.